We're holding on Nuntes Amud Aleph, six lines from the bottom. I'm still in the middle of discussing this whole matter of gedulim, when we say that the gedulim, that if you plant something and it grows new growths, when are those mevatel, the original one, and when are they not? So far we've talked about differences, between whether it's davar sheyesh lo matirin. In particular, nedarim are more of a davar sheyesh lo matirin than other things because there's a mitzvah to be matir neder. But we talked about also that there's a difference whether, first of all, of course, whether zare kola or not, whether the seed actually rots away in the ground or not. If it does, then the gedulin are much less of a problem. We also talked about, whether they were mixed together, whether it's mixed with others. We talked about if they're chopped up or crushed or whatever, all kinds of different, when we talked about ones that depend on being planted in the ground, such as shvius, versus ones that don't depend so much on that, but rather on other factors like orla and kliyakan. So now, from here to the end of the perek, the Gemara is going to be tying up various loose ends that came up during the sugya. So the Gemara says Gufa, getting back to something we said before, we quoted it on Nun Zayin Amud Aleph near the beginning of the sugya. Omer Rav Yechanan, litra b'tzolim shetikna, if you have a litra, about a pound, of onions that you were masakin, you took off all the trumas and maestras from it, so now it's regular chulin, and now you can eat it and do whatever you want with it. V'zora, and then you went and planted some of those onions. Misaseres v'fikula, when you take meiser from the newly grown onions, you take meiser according to the whole thing. Because what happens is the gedulim come and cancel out the ikker completely. So till now we've been talking about the case where the ikker itself is also for some reason, and the gedulim we were discussing whether they are mutter or according to the Ran, they're for sure they're not for sure. According to the Ran, if they're mutter, then for sure they're mevatel, and if not, then not. But now we're talking the other way around. The original onion that you planted, the original bulb that you planted in the ground, was completely mutter to eat. You had already taken off all the termas and maestras. But now that it grew, then Rabbi Yechanan is saying you don't figure out the volume of the original onion that you planted and subtract that from the fully grown onion that you're picking now and give termas and maestras according to that. No, you give termas and maestras according to the whole thing. So the Gemara says, Yosef Rabba, v'ka'omel ha'shmaita. So Rabba was sitting and saying over the statement of Rabbi Yechanan. Omel Rav Chista. So Rav Chista says to Rabba, I can't understand that. Man soy sloch lo Rabbi Yechanan Rabba. Who is going to listen to you and to your Rebbe Rabbi Yechanan? In other words, I have great difficulties with this statement of Rabbi Yechanan. After all, heter shebehen ma'echan halach. Where did the heter in them go? The fact is, there was a part of this onion that was completely meisered already. How can you now go and say that disappears and now the entire onion is chayiv and meisered again? In other words, the Ran explains the question, and then different achronim discuss what he means it's one thing, fine. You can say gedulim shalah. It's one thing when you say that the ikur, that the main thing that was planted is osur, and then you're talking about that it grows growths which are heter, and you're talking about them being mevatelet. Fine, because then at least when you're eating it, you're not tasting the taste of the isur at all, because you have so much more gedulim than the original. So even though it is true that you have isur mixed into it, then it would still be mutter. But when it comes to meiser, you're not just you have to have, the Torah tells you, you have to take meiser from a certain amount of produce that you grow. But after all, then, how can you be including the part that was already meiser and which is now potter from meiser, how can you be including that in it as well? You can't say, in other words, on the face of it, you can say that the new growths are tevel. How can you say that those are mevatel, the original, the ikker, so much that now it becomes tevel as well? Shouldn't we at least say that the ikker remains not tevel? So you subtract that when you're calculating the meiser, and the rest of it you would, and the rest of it you would take, then the rest of it you would take meiser from. Amale, so Rabba answers, what's the problem? Milay Tanan Dekavasa. Didn't we learn a Mishnah very much like that, also in the Sugya? We learned yesterday that if you have onions, that rain fell on them and they sprouted new growth. So we talked about yesterday, we're talking about, for example, onions that were harvested during the sixth year and then replanted during Shemitah, or even that then were uprooted from the ground during Shemitah and replanted in the eighth year. Whatever the case, the point is that we need to know whether the new growths come from being planted in the soil or whether they just come from the onion's own moisture, or from the moisture rather that it absorbed from the rain. So we said, im hayu olim shalahan shchorin, if the leaves are black, meaning a dark, deep green, then we know that they have a lot of vitality in them. So then it means they came from the soil. Asurin, so then those leaves are going to be osur because they grew during Shemitah. Hayriku mutarin, but if they're pale green, then they're mutar, because then they only come from the onion itself sprouting, not because of the nutrition it got from the soil, but just from its own, from its own moisture and from the moisture of the rain that fell on it. So Rabba says, you have to ask, you could ask the same thing. So what if they're, let's consider, this onion was harvested in the sixth year, so it has no dinim of Shemitah fruit, because onions, we said, go according to when they're harvested, like all vegetables. So now you have grew more leaves during Shemitah, and you're talking about that those leaves might be osir. But it sounds like when we say osir, it sounds like the whole thing is osir. If the leaves are dark green, why should the whole thing be osir? Can't you make the same argument that where did the heter disappear to? So at most you should say, in other words, that the gedulim would be osir because they were grown during Shemitah, and then the ikur would be mutter. Now, how could you distinguish? The Ran points out, it's not like necessarily you could point to this part of the onion is mutter, that part is osir. On the face of it, if it's growing leaves and it was replanted in the ground, it may also have grown new layers, and you're not necessarily going to be able to distinguish where the layers that were there before were and where they are now. So it's not like necessarily you'd be able to eat the onion and be able to say that we can distinguish between the part that's not Shemitah and the part that's it. That is. However, the Ran points out, a nachmina of it would be, suppose that you go and sell those onions. Now, we know, we've learned before, that shvias tefesis damer, that when you sell Shemitah fruit, whether in cases where you're allowed to, there are certain limited quantities you're allowed to, there are larger amounts that you're not allowed to, whatever the case, the din is, the money also gets kedushas shvias. And now when it comes time for the beer of the onions, then you're also going to have to do beer on that money as well. Put it out as hefter, according to most of the Rishonim, actually finish eating it or use the money to buy food, that is, and eat it and destroy it, or destroy it or whatever when the time of beer comes, according to the Rambam. Anyway, the point is that, so now let's consider, if you have, let's say this onion was worth $1 before you replanted it, when you harvested it in the sixth year, it was worth $1. Now you replanted it, now it grew a lot more, now it's worth, let's say $5. Fine, you may not be able to pick out the original dollar's worth of onion to be able to eat it. But if you sell it, then only $4 out of the five should have kedushas shvias, the fifth one should not. So you see that, and yet the Mishnah seems to be saying that not. The Mishnah is saying, the Mishnah is saying the word asurin, which implies that all of it is asur. So all $5 of it have kedushas shvias. That's the Ran makes that point that you have that nachmina. Another point, the Rosh makes a point also be negeya as far as if they got mixed up with other onions. We have to talk about how much do we need in order to be mevatalit. Where again, if you say that the original ikur, it becomes also as well as a result of the gedolim, then you're going to need 60 times the size of the entire onion. Otherwise, you're only going to need Otherwise, you're only going to need 60 times the amount of the gedulin, which is, of course, going to be smaller. By the way, we've learned previously, shvius is not one of those things that govers shiesh hamatirin, because the onion remains, it still has kedushas shvius, even after shemitah is over, so it's not like an egg laid on Yom Tov or something where after Yom Tov it's going to be completely mutter. Anyway, the point is, Rabba says to Rav Chista, so you see in that Mishnah, we're saying asurin, and the Pashtus, it means the entire thing is asur. So yes, you see that the original ikr, which was mutter from the sixth year, becomes asur as a result of the growth from it. Omalei, but Rav Chista answers Rabba, mi sadrat al ikr katani, you think that when the Mishnah says asurin means the entire thing is asur? No, a toisvus katani asurin. No, it's only saying asurin regarding the toisvus, regarding what was added. So yes, that Mishnah might be saying exactly what I'm saying. The ikkah remains mutter, only the toisvus is also because it grew during Shemitah. So again, according to the Ran's understanding, then it would mean that if you're going to sell this onion, only four of the $5 become the Kedushas Shvius, and according to the Rosh, the point is that if they got mixed up with other onions, you only need 60 times corresponding to the Gedulin, not the Iker. So the question is, the Gemara says, Yehochi, my Osir, Shimon, I'm the other Meimar. Well, if that's the case, if that's how you understand the Mishnah, then what is your Shimon Gamliel coming to tell us? The Tanya, we actually learn in a Braisa in connection with that Mishnah, Reb Shimon Gamliel, Hagodo B'chiyuv Chayev, Reb Shimon Gamliel says that whatever grew in Chiyuv, in the time which is Chayev and Shvius, is Chayev and Shvius, Hagodo B'chiyuv, whatever grew during the time when it was Potter, during the sixth year, Potter, that would be Potter. The Rosh points out, by the way, that really over here, really in context of our sugya, the expression ought not to be chayev and potter. The expression ought to be osir and mutter, as we've been talking about throughout the sugya. Because when it comes to vegetables of shvius, you have the gzeira d'rabbanan that says that vegetables that grew during shvius are also to eat. Because we've been talking about before, gzeira svichin, the problem is that people were planting vegetables and then claiming, yeah, but they grew by themselves, and so therefore the Chachamim asked vegetables that are growing during Shemitah, so really the expression ought to be osur and mutter. The reason why he's using the word chayev and potter over here is because the original context where he says such a thing is a different case where you have a tree that's standing on the border of Eretz Yisrael. Part of the tree is in Eretz Yisrael, part of it is outside Eretz Yisrael, and you have dinim there that Rav Shimon Gamliel says, which fruit of it is chayev and potter and mice. So there, it's not also in mutter. You're allowed to eat fruit of Eretz Yisrael, you're allowed to eat fruit of chutzlar. It's a matter of whether it's chayev or potter and mice, and therefore he uses the words chayev and potter. Anyway, the point is that Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying that the gedulim, are not osir as a result of whether the gedulim themselves are osir, but they're not mevatel the ikker. So then, if you Rav Chista are going to say that the previous Mishnah that we quoted about the onions doesn't mean that the whole onion becomes osir as a result of the gedulim during Shemitah, only that the new gedulim are osir, well then that's exactly what Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying. Tanakama nami hachi omar. Isn't the Tanakama saying the same thing? The Rosh, by the way, points out the word Tanakama here is a little bit inexact. We have a Mishnah, and then we have a Braisa on it. Tanakama would be when you have two opinions within the same Mishnah, within the same Braisa. But okay, since we quoted him first in the Sugya, we're calling him the Tanakama. Anyway, the point is, the author of the Mishnah, which we'll call the Tanakama to keep things simple, is according to you, Rav Chista, is saying that not the whole onion has Kedushas Shvius, only the new growth. Well, Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying exactly the same thing. So what is he adding? The answer is, you could answer, Kulamas Nisin, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Katanila. Okay, well, very well. You can answer that the entire Mishnah and the Braisa is all according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. In other words, not Rav Shimon Gamliel arguing with the Chachamim. It's he's making a statement in the Mishnah, and he's clarifying in the Braisa that he holds that only whatever grew in Chiyuv is Chayev, and whatever grew in Ptur is Potur, and the Gedulim are not canceling out the Iker. So you could understand the Mishnah that way, and therefore you could very well say that the gedulin are also, but the ikar is not. And in that case, that would fit Rav Chista's position. But then Rav Chista has the right to argue on Rav Yochanan and say that Rav Yochanan that how can Rav Yochanan say the entire onion is chayiv and meiser in the case that he said before. But the Gemara continues. You could, as far as now, fine. You're going to say then that. So fine. In that case, then where is Rav Yochanan getting his ikker, his bottle from? If Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that way, you could say. Rabba continues. The ad kan lo shamat le Rav Shimon Gamliel deloy kap Torah. You know when you find Rav Shimon Gamliel saying that Hagodah b'chiyuv chayev, Hagodah b'chiyuv potter, meaning that the ikar is not bottle, only where he didn't do a tircha, where he didn't actually try to do something in order to be mevatel the ikar. So what are we talking about? The Mishnah that we talked about and the bright of the onions and the braisa of Rav Shimon Gamliel are talking about that the onions, that rain fell on them. So you didn't really do anything to cause them to sprout. They sprouted on their own. So you could say that Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying that that doesn't make the, that the gedulim are not important enough to cancel out the ikar. Aval hecha the katarach, but where he went to the tircha of, he wanted to be mevatel the ikar. So let's compare. Rabbi Yochanan was talking about a case where he actually took the onions and planted them in the ground. So he had onions that were meisered, he planted them in the ground, and then we're talking about they grew, and now we're talking about that, now we're talking about what you do as far as meiser. So now you could argue he went to the trouble of planting them in the ground, so then you could say bottle beruba, then maybe Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would agree that in that case, the ikar is bottle and the roiv, and then that'll fit what Rav Yochanan is saying, that now when you're taking meiser from the entire onion, or based on the size of the entire onion, not just the onion minus the ikar. Now, why would it be? What's the logic to say that if you were tereach, that if you went to tircha, then it should make a difference as far as the bittul? So the Ran explains that, So first of all, the Ran explains like this. He says that we've been talking about throughout the whole sugya, the Ran's shita was that we have to determine whether the gedulim are considered like the ikar. If the gedulim are not considered like the ikar, then they can be mevatel it. He was saying that not. So the Ran says, first of all, Isser is something that becomes bottle, not Heter. So for Heter to be bottle in Isser, you need different criteria. And anyway, again, when you're not doing any tircha, then you can talk about that the gedulim are maybe separate from the ikar, but they're not enough to be mevatel. But Tosfos points out another point as well. Tosfos following their shitta throughout the sugya, that the reason why the ikar wouldn't be bottle in cases that we talked about before is because the ikar is choshuv, because it's important. Now that he went to the tircha being mevatel it, then that ikar is no longer so important. Therefore we can say that it's bottle. So now we have another criterion to add to the various ones we talked about when the gedulim are mevatel the ikar, is whether he went to the tircha being mevatel the ikar or not. So the Gemara says, "V'chol heicha b'katarach bottle b'ruba." So you're telling me that any time he went to tircha, for example, he went and replanted the ikar, then it's going to be bottle b'roiv. V'harei litra meiser, v'harei litra meiser tevel. We have the example though of a brisa that we quoted earlier. That we quoted earlier regarding a litra of meiser tevel. We quoted this on Nun Chesam days. So we had a case over there. You have meiser rishon, which is still tevel because you haven't taken trumas meiser from it yet. And we said over there that if you replant it, so now it grew 10 times as large. So we said it is chayev in meiser and in shvius. And we say what you do is, as far as that, as far as what we say is, we take out the Trumas Meiser from someplace else, because there we were talking about that. You had a litra of Meiser Temple, you replanted it, and it continued growing during Shemitah. We said that since Shemitah fruit is potter from Meiser, so therefore you can't take Trumas Meiser out of the onion itself, because then you're going to take from a part that's potter on a part that's chayev. Instead, we said that you have to take Meiser lefi cheshbon. You have to figure out the size of the original bulb of the original litra, and then take out Trumas Meiser of 1/10 of a litra from a different batch of onions. So now over there he was going to the Tircha, because he did go and plant it to Mimibakal, Bukatani Vaisa Litra Masol of Makamacha. And we're still saying that the original litra remains Tefel. So again, everything else that grew is now Shemitah fruit. So therefore, so you're not Chayiv and Meiser in it, because Shemitah fruit anyway is Hefker, and it's Potter from Meiser. But the original litra, we said, is still Chayiv and Meiser, the Pricheshbon, according to the amount that would have to be taken on behalf of one litra. So we see that even when you were Tereach, even when you went to the trouble of planting it, we still say that it's not bottle. Whereas here, where you just said Rabbah, you're trying to argue that there's a difference whether he was Tereach, where then he would say that the Iker is bottle. And here we see that the Iker is not bottle, even though you went to the Tircha of planting it. The answer is, the Gemara says, Shiny David Meiser. It's different when it comes to Meiser, the Omakro Aser to Aser, because the Pasuk says, Meiser, you should Meiser. So the double expression means, in other words, that even though you planted grain or you planted whatever, even though that was already Meisered, nevertheless, you're still going to have to take Meiser from the entire thing over again. So is it from the double expression, or the Rosh explains actually that it comes from the word kol, because the pasuk says aser ta'aser as kol tvor serecha, so it means you have to take meiser from all of it. So you don't subtract the amount that was good before, and then figure the meiser based on this Dreis HaKosov. You go when it comes with meiser specifically, you go according to the entire thing. But the Hetera Zari Inchi, however, that Kosov would refer only to a case where somebody plants something which is mutter, because really you're not allowed to plant tevel. So you're not allowed to plant tevel, but you're only allowed to plant it after it's been meiser. So you meiser the entire crop, and then later on you take some of it and you plant it. So when the pasuk is saying aser to aser and saying that the ikur has to be meisered as well, that is talking about in the normal way when you planted it as kol tvoras sarecha, the normal kind of way that people plant, namely where it's mutter to plant, not where you planted it be'isser, as in the case where you planted tevel. So in other words, we're going to say that in the case of Rabbi Yochanan's, where it was fully meisered and then you planted it, that is where we would say that the ikur is bottle, and now you have to take meiser from the whole thing. As opposed to when you took meiser vision, which was still tevel, which is also to plant anyway, and you planted it, then the result is going to be that original litra remains chayev and meiser, and you're not going to say that it's bottle in the rest of it because it grew during Shemitah. The Ran does bring up a point, though, that the problem is, throughout the entire sugya we're talking about over here, is things like onions and other such things like that, which ain't zare tola. We talked about before that the seed does not rot away in the ground, it just continues growing layers. Well, those kinds of things are not chayev and maisim and atoda anyhow. We discussed before, the machlokas rishonim, whether it's only grain, grapes, and olives that are chayev and maisim and atoda, or whether all tree fruits, but all vegetables definitely are drabbanon. We learned earlier in the perek. So why are we bringing a pasuk for aser to aser when that pasuk is not can't be referring to anything which is chayev in maisim and atoda anyhow? So the Ran says, okay, you're right. You would have to say the pasuk is being used only as an asmachta. But all it is that just the logic is it's more a matter of a logic. When you're planting something that's heter, then it's more logical to say that it'll be bottled to the iser, because after all, you have one is heter, one is osir, and so one is mevatel the other. When an iser is planted, and now you have more iser grows from it. So namely, you have the original thing you planted was tevel, and now what grows from it is tevel as well. So you're not going to say that one is mevatel the other, the same way as the ran, the same way as we had the long ran before on Dafrin Beis that discussed why it is that Dover Shiyesh Lamatirin is not bottle, because then you have something mutter mixed with something that will be mutter mixed with something else that's already mutter, and therefore one doesn't cancel out the other, the same way here one thing that's also doesn't cancel out another thing that's also. However, the Ran still says that's very hard to say that. He says an unusual expression. Ba'adayin ein daiti noicha. He says, I'm still not really at ease with this explanation. But sarich ani lasis li rav bazeh. I have to make for myself a Rebbe in this to really fully understand this. So even with all of that, the Ran still finds it difficult to understand how the Gemara can be bringing a pasuk for something which is only Dirabban. Anyway. So, but that's what the Gemara is saying. So therefore, so there's a difference based on this pasuk, aser to aser, or based on the logic of iser canceling out, of heter canceling out iser, or vice versa, but iser not canceling out iser, then therefore we're going to say that there's a difference in Rabbi Yochanan's case where the onions were completely misered, and then you planted them, versus the braisa that we said before, where you planted miserishin that was still tevel, And the part that was tevel remains tevel, and you still have to take trumas ma'aser after it. Okay. The Gemara says now another thing that now to quote and discuss another thing that we said earlier in the sugya, gufa, getting back to something else that we said at the beginning of the sugya, we said Amar Rav Chanina tirsa Amar Rav Yanai, botzel shel truma shenotay, if you planted an onion of truma, and then it grew more gedulim, more than the ikar. So now the ikar can be bottled. Mutter. So now the whole onion is mutter to zorim. You're gonna have to take ma'aser from it, but once you take ma'aser from it, then it's mutter to zorim because now it's not considered truma anymore. So the question is, remember the gedulei heter malanus iser. So you're telling me then that these gedulei heter, the fact that it grew later on, is canceling out the iser, and therefore that the iser of truma goes away. We learn in a Mishnah gedulei truma truma. We learn in a Mishnah that if you plant truma, then the growths from it or the growths from it themselves are considered truma. Which means, in other words, you're actually going to have to do both. You're going to have to take miser from them. You're still going to have to take miser from them, but all of it, including what's left over after you take miser, is still going to be also for zorim. So you see that the gedulim are not canceling out the ikar. Again, according to the Ran's understanding, the point is, in other words, that would mean the gedulim have the same status as the ikar. If they have the same status, they can't be mevatelit. The answer is gedulin, Tamlin. And the answer is Rabbi Yanai's statement is talking about gedulin. You're talking about growths of growths. Meaning, in other words, that Rabbi Yanai is not talking about where the onion itself was from truma. You're talking about an onion of truma that was replanted. And then things grew from it. And now you're taking something from that. And then you're replanting that. So that's already gedulei gedulin, and therefore it can be mevatel, the original iser, and therefore it's not also bizarre. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Hanami tenena. Then there's no chidush in that either. That we also learn in a Mishnah. Gedulei gedulin chulin. That if you plant truma and it produces gedulin, and then you replant that and it produces more gedulin, chulin, then those are considered chulin. So what does Rabbi Yanai add to that? They're tevel, obviously. When you say chulin, by the way, we don't mean you can eat them right away. Obviously, they're tevel. You still have to take truma and ma'aser from them, but the point is, in other words, they're not truma anymore. The answer is hok mashmalon. Fine, but what Rabbi Yanai wants to tell us, the chidush, the afilu b'dover she'en zare kola. that this din of Gedula Gedulin applies even if the original doesn't rot away. If it weren't for that, you would say the Mishnah is talking about maybe, let's say, grains of wheat or something, where if you plant grains of wheat of Truma, then the Chachamim penalize you and consider those growths Truma. And then if you take one of those kernels from that and plant it again, then it'll be Chulin, because you have nothing left of the original at that point. But you wouldn't know that that applies to onions. So therefore, Sir Yana needs to inform us that it applies to onions as well. So the Gemara says, V'hotnan, So the Gemara says, what do you mean? V'hotnan, how could we learn in the Mishnah? Hatevo gedulos mutarin. We have another Mishnah that says, a couple of Mishnayos later than the previous one about gedulos truma, that says, Hatevo gedulos mutarin. If you plant tevel, then the gedulim of it are mutter. So we said before that the tevel itself won't be bottle in the gedulin. The gedulin themselves will be mutter. Meaning, in other words, you're not going to say. Meaning, we know that you're allowed to eat tevel before one of the things has been done to make it nikba lebaiso. You're allowed to eat a snack from it. So the point is, you have this item which was tevel. It had actually gone through miruach or whatever, and now it's fully chayav in maisa daraisa. Or did I bonin if we're talking about vegetables? Then you took it and then before taking maize from it, you replanted it. Now we're saying what grows from it is considered like any other newly grown produce, which is not yet chayav in maize, therefore you can eat a snack from it. But the dovish is zarei kola. But the Mishnah says only when the seed rots away in the ground, I will dovish in zarei kola gedula gedula nasurin. But when it comes to something where the seed rots away in the ground, where the seed does not rot away in the ground, namely, for example, onions, then even gedula gedula nasur, because then you have something of the isur mixed into that. So now, if that applies to tevel, how much more so that has to apply to truma? So what are you telling me? You're telling me that Rav Yannai is saying that even with truma, which is more stringent than tevel, because after all, the whole concept of eating tevel, of not eating tevel before you've mitered it, especially when you're talking about onions, is only dirabanan. But when you're talking about truma is also tezarim. Daraisa. So what are you telling me then? So you, Rav Yannai, are telling me that the Mishnah would be telling us that Dovash and Zarei Kola, that Dovash is Zarei Kola, that something where it rots away in the ground, then the original is bottle and then it's not considered, but still the Gedulim are Truma Midrabanan, but the Gedula Nacholin. But if it does rot away, and then you're telling me with truma, even an onion, gedulin will also be mutter, even though it doesn't rot away in the ground. But based on the Mishnah, we see that even with tevel, we don't say that. So why would we say that with truma, which is more stringent? And the Gemara answer is, ribuya de rabu gedulin al ikrim mutter kamash malon. Yes, but Rabbi Yannai's chiddush is that when the gedulim are much more than the ikr, then they are mevatala. In other words, the Mishnah is saying that gedulin are also when you have very little gedulin. So you still have more ikr than gedulin. But here, in Rav Yannai's case of an onion of truma, then you have the gedula gedulin are greater than the gedulin, and therefore larger in volume, and therefore they can be mevatalet. So the Ran also brings from the Rashba that originally the Gemara could have said that maybe Rav Yannai doesn't mean dafka onions; he's just giving onions as an example. But then after we went through the discussion over here. And we said that Rav Yannai wants to tell us a chiddush that it didn't say in the Mishnah. Then we said that seems to be contradicted by another Mishnah about tevel. And the answer is that even the Mishnah is talking about when you have very little gedulin, whereas Rav Yannai is talking about when you have a lot of them. Rav Akiva Eger points out in Gilui Nashas that anyway isn't tevel dovash yesh lamatirin. So we could easily say then that Tevel is different, that Truma is not Davar Sheyesh HaMatirin, and Gedula and Tevel is. The Chassam Sofer gives an answer that the Gemara thought that we're saying that when Rav Yana is talking about the onion of Truma being bottle, it's not because of Bittul Beroiv, because then you could say, yeah, Bittul Beroiv could apply to Truma, but not to Tevel, because Truma is not Davar Sheyesh HaMatirin, and Tevel is. But here, now we're actually talking about, we want to say that the Isser actually gets transformed into Heter. So therefore, so that wouldn't be a difference of Davar Sheyesh HaMatirin or not. Okay. Hadron Alacha Nodim in Ayek. Now that we've gone through the last couple of Parakim, talking about definitions of things as far as Nedarim, of course, next to Neder, not to eat such and such. What is included? What is not? Earlier than that, we had when a person makes a neder from a group of people, who's included in the group and who's not. Our parak is going to continue on that topic, but talk about definitions as far as units of time. So a person makes a neder that he won't do such and such today, how long does today last for? A person says this week, this month, or whatever, or until a certain event, what is considered until that? So that's going to be the subject of this parak. So the Mishnah says, if a person says, koinam yayin chani toyim ayon, a person says, a koinam that I won't taste wine today, what is considered today? So, eina osu elad shetasha. He's only osu until it becomes dark, until it's tesa kechavim. What about Shabbos zu? What about if he says that I won't drink wine this entire Shabbos? Now, the word Shabbos itself can have two. The word Shabbos can have two meanings. It can mean Shabbos as opposed to the other 6 days of the week. It can also mean the word Shabbos itself can mean the week, like we have in Shir Shor Yom, Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos, Hayom Yom Sheni B'Shabbos, and so forth. So the Ran and all the Meforshim over here, so most of the Meforshim over here bring two explanations. The Meforish, printed under Rashi's name, brings only the second of them, so we'll get to that soon. But first, the explanation is that we're talking about, a person is in the middle of it's in the middle of the week, and the person says in the middle of the week, I will be usher to drink wine this week. So then, usher b'chol Shabbos, the Shabbos she'ovra, then what's going to happen is he's usher in the entire week, and he's also usher in the Shabbos day itself counts as part of the previous week. Meaning, so if he made the neder, let's say on Wednesday, so he's usher Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos. We don't say, in other words, that we don't say that Shabbos already belongs to the following week. No, it belongs to the previous week. And since he said this Shabbos, then it means it includes Shabbos as well. What about Chodesh there? If he says that I'll be Osir for this month, then Osir b'chol Chodesh, he's Osir for the entire month, but Rosh Chodesh l'haba, but Rosh Chodesh counts as part of the next month. We're going to discuss on Omer Beis, what about when you have a two-day Rosh Chodesh? But right now, what we're saying is, in other words, that so you made the neder, let's say, sometime during Kislev, that I'll be also in wine for this month. So he's also up to and including the 29th of Kislev, but comes Rosh Chodesh Tevis, then he's mutter. So in other words, unlike Shabbos, which belongs to the end of, which is the end of the previous week, Rosh Chodesh is the beginning of the next month. Similarly, Shonazu, if he makes the neder for this month, for this year, also b'chol Hashana, so he's also for the rest of the calendar year, Rosh Hashanah la'asid lavoi, but Rosh Hashanah goes for the future, meaning that he becomes mutter at the end of Erev Rosh Hashanah. The Rosh points out, by the way, the reason why the different Lashonas, la'haba, la'asid lavoi. It's just because that's the way that people talk. People speak of the next Rosh Chodesh, but Rosh Hashanah, which is months away, they call La'osid Lavoi. That'll be in the distant future. So it's not really a difference in halacha. It's just a difference in the terminology that people use. Shavuazeh. What if he says that I'll be also for this entire Shemitah cycle? So then, also b'chol Shavuah. So he's also for the rest until the end for that entire Shemitah cycle. Or Shvius Shavra, Shvius the Shemitah year itself counts as the end of the cycle. The same way as Shabbos is the end of the week. The same way the Shemitah is the end of the Shemitah cycle. So therefore, it's included. Now that's all the first explanation that the Ran and the Rosh and Tosfos bring. Now they bring a second explanation as well. And they say that the second explanation is actually going to fit better in a way with the wording of the Gemara later on, but they point out big questions on it, and therefore they don't accept it in the end. The Mefarish, printed under Rashi's name, actually mentions only the second explanation. Anyway, the second explanation is that when we talk about that he makes the neder Shabbos, Zu, Chodesh, etc., we mean, for example, that on Shabbos itself, he makes a neder and says that Shabbos, Zu, I will be also to do such and such. So what it would mean is, so when we say that also b'chol Shabbos, the Shabbos Sha'obra, what we would mean is, according to that he would be also the remainder of the Shabbos where he made the neder, as well as the entire following week, including the following Shabbos. So in other words, he made the neder, let's say on Shabbos Parshas Vayeshev. So now he'll be also the remainder of that Shabbos, as well as the entire week of Parshas Miketz. And the same thing with the other ones. That would mean the Shabbos that already passed. In other words, we wouldn't say that because he made the neder on Shabbos itself, therefore we should say that it means only that the neder will be in effect until the end of the day, and then at that point it's the end of that week, and the neder is over. No, we would say that it includes the coming week as well, but it also includes the Shabbos, even though it belongs to the previous week. And the same thing with all the other ones. Now it's true that the Gemara does ask Pshita later on. The Gemara does ask that this din of the Mishnah seems obvious, and that question seems to fit better according to this explanation. Nevertheless, though, the Ran points out that. And then the Ran also points out that would also explain, that would be another explanation why we'd use the word L'sha'ovar versus L'habba in these cases in the Mishnah, because if he makes the neder in the middle of Shabbos or in the middle of Shemitah, he's going to be also not only in this Shabbos, but also the following one. Again, he made the neder in the middle of Shabbos Parshas Vayeshev. It's going to be in effect until Shabbos Parshas Miketz is over, as opposed to when he makes a neder in the middle of the month or the middle of the year, where there Rosh Chodesh or Rosh Hashanah will be mutter, because those don't belong to this month or this year at all. So the Ran says it is an attractive pirush, but the problem with it is that why should he be also in the following Shabbos? We should say that if he made the neder on Shabbos Parshas Vayeshev, then it should indeed only be osur for the remainder of that Shabbos. And he brings from Gemara and Rosh Hashanah, for example, that says that if a person makes a neder on Erev Rosh Hashanah and says that he makes a neder that I won't do such and such this year, so then it's only in effect for the one day, and as soon as Erev Rosh Hashanah is over, then the neder is over because the year is over as well. So then by the same logic, therefore, if a person makes the neder saying Shabbos Zu, and he's on Shabbos itself, then it should be in effect only for the remainder of the Shabbos. So therefore, the Ran says that we can't accept the other explanation. Achronim talk about maybe there is a way to salvage that explanation. Maybe you could distinguish between Shabbos, which is a defined day in the week, versus Erev Rosh Hashanah, which is not really a special day in itself. It's only special because it happens to be the last day of the year. But anyway, the Ran and most of the Mefarshim over here prefer the first explanation, that we're not talking about where he made the neder on Shabbos itself, but rather he made the neder sometime during the week. And the point of the Mishnah is just to inform us that Shabbos and Shemitah belong together with the previous years, whereas Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah belong with the following section of time. Okay, Mishnah says, V'im Amo Yoim Echad. Now, all of this is only, he said, Hayoim, for example. He said that I'll be also today. What if he says I'll be also Yoim Echad for one day, or Shabbos Achas, 1 week, Chodesh Echad, or 1 month, Shana Achas, 1 year, Shavua Echad, or one 7-year cycle. Also, Miyoim Liyoim, in those cases, it doesn't end at the end of the day or the end of the month or whatever. In that case, then we need a full 24-hour day or a full 30-day month, and so on and so forth. So again, he'd made the neder, let's say on Tetzvav Kislev, saying that I'll be also this month, then he'd be also only until the end of Kislev, up till including Chavtetz Kislev, we said. But if he said that I'll be also for 1 month, then he's also until Tetzvav Tevis. And the same thing with all the other ones. Continues the Mishnah. Ad HaPesach. What if a person makes a neder that he'll be also in something until Pesach? So what does that mean? Until and including Pesach, or until and not including? So it means also Ad Shiagia. So he's also until Pesach comes. So he's also up to and including Erev Pesach, but he'll be Mutter as soon as Pesach starts. Ad Shiyehe. On the other hand, if he says until Pesach is, until Pesach is Shiyehe, implies that the entire Pesach exists already. So therefore, also Ad Shiyehe, then he's going to be also until the end of Pesach. What if he says Ad Pnei Pesach? We have it printed in front of us is the word Lifnei. But really, it's supposed to be Pnei. If he says Ad Pnei HaPesach, that I'm making the neder until the face of Pesach. So now, what does that mean? There's a few different ways you can understand the words Ad Pnei HaPesach. It could mean until the beginning. The Rosh explains that you have three different ways of explaining it. You could say it means until the first days come, meaning that it would be the same as Ad HaPesach. It would be until the beginning of Pesach, but not including it. It could mean until the last days come. So then, in other words, he'd be also the first day and Chol HaMoed, but he'd be most of the last days. Or it could mean Ad Pnei, Ad Pesach could mean until the entire Pesach is over. So here you have Machlokas. Reb Meir Omer also Ad Shiyagia. Reb Meir says he'll be also only until Pesach comes. So according to him, Pnei Ad Pesach means that the person is saying only until Pesach arrives. So therefore, as soon as Pesach arrives, the neder is over. Rabbi Yossi also Ad Shiyetze, and Rabbi Yossi says he's also until Pesach is over, because according to him, Pnei HaPesach means as long as until the face of Pesach, meaning in other words, until there's a point where you can't say that Pesach exists anymore, which means at the end of Pesach. Later on Daf Samach Aleph, we're going to talk about that the Gemara is going to explain the Machlokas of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. It basically is, you have a suffix on those days of Pesach themselves. Are they included in the neder or not? Does the person mean to include the suffix in his neder as well? So we'll discuss that on Samach Aleph on the Beis, Mr. Shem. So the Gemara starts off, Koinim Yayin Shani Toyim Kola. So again, we have the two cases in the Mishnah, one where the person makes a neder that I won't drink wine today, and the other way he says I won't drink wine for a day. And we said in the first case, today means until face, and in the second case, a day means 24 hours. So Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah, L'chshatech shach tzarech sha'ilu l'chachem. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says that when it becomes dark, he's going to need to be matir neder in order for him to be able to drink wine now after it got dark. In other words, so he made the neder, let's say, at 12 o'clock on, he made the neder, let's say, at 12 p.m. on one day. So we said that when he says hayoim, he's only also until shkia, or until seis, rather. But nevertheless, if he wants to drink wine after seis, between then and 12 o'clock the next day, he is going to have to be matir neder. The reason is my timer. So why is that? My timer. Omer Rabbi Yosef, gzeira hayoyim mishum yoyim echad. Because Rabbi Yirmiyah is making a gzeira, the Rosh points out, by the way, it's not that Rabbi Yirmiyah is explaining something in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yirmiyah is saying, I think that we have to make a gzeira on top of what it says in the Mishnah, and say that even though he said hayoyim, he's still also, unless he does a shayla l'chocham midrabban. Because Zera Hayoim Mishum Yoim Echad, because make a Zera Hayoim and Yoim Echad might be easily confused. So if he's allowed to drink wine after nightfall, another time he may make the neder in the form Yoim Echad, where there he's actually Osir until the same time the next day, and then he's not going to realize, and he's going to be over on his neder. So therefore, Midrabanan, we're going to penalize him and require him to be Matu Neder. The Chassam Sofer points out an interesting point. Why l'chatech shach? I mean, on the face of it, he could do that during the day as well. But the fact is, we're talking about, let's say, why he made this neder. Okay, the Gemara is going to say in a minute that making a neder is not such a good thing, but still, the Chacham didn't want to have that he deprived himself completely unnecessarily. So therefore, Rabbi Yirmiyah is saying l'chatech shach. At that point, min atzorah, the neder is over. And therefore, really, the concept of Hataras Nedarim wouldn't apply to it anymore. The Hatara is only a Tekonis Chachamim, so therefore it comes out that retroactively his Neder was accomplishing something. He wasn't just depriving himself of wine or whatever it is unnecessarily during that day. But it is true that he could be Maturit during the day if he wants. But in any case, the point is, we make a Gzeira, Dirabanan, to make him be Matur Neder, in that case, says Rabbi Yirmiyah, in order that we don't confuse it with Yom Echad. But the Gemara says, Omer Lei, but he says to him, now who's the he? The Bach adds the word over here, Abaya. So who is saying to who? It's a Reb Yosef has just explained Reb Yirmiyah's shita. So now Abaya is asking on Reb Yosef's explanation of the gzera. So he says, "Ihochi ligzah b'yom echad mishum hayom." Well, in that case, shouldn't we say the other way around also? That if a person says yom echad, where he's also for 24 hours, then we should say that he's also in addition until it gets dark mishum hayom. So here, the other way around, he made the neder at 12 o'clock and said, he made the neder at 12 o'clock on Tuesday and said that I'm also for yom echad to drink wine, where we said that the neder is chal and is in effect until 12 o'clock on Wednesday. Shouldn't we say, based on the same logic, that d'rabbanan, he should be also to drink wine until nightfall on Wednesday, because otherwise he may confuse it with hayom. Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef answers him, hayom b'yom echad michlat. It's easy enough to confuse when you said hayom and think that it's the same as yom echad. So therefore, so Rabbi Yirmiyah is going to make gzera. Yom echad b'hayom loy michlach, but not the other way around. When a person says yom echad, the neder is in effect for 24 hours. So he knows, therefore, he's not going to think to himself, yeah, but it's similar to hayom and I should be mutter after nightfall. He knows that hayom means 24 hours. He knows that yom echad rather means 24 hours. So if he's saying hayom, then and you allow him to drink after nightfall, then he may forget and do the same thing when he says yom echad. But if he says yom echad, he knows that he already had a 24 hour period when he was usur. So now, if he goes and drinks wine after 12 o'clock on Wednesday, he's not going to in the future confuse that with hayom, because in this case, he already knew that he had a 24 hour time when he was off. So therefore, there's no need to make a gzeira in that case. The Ran, by the way, points out a side point, a halacha point, that when a person makes a neder of a tiny siyachid, the fact is he's allowed to eat after nightfall. We don't apply the gzeder that we're saying over here, that he needs to be matur neder. The reason is because people know when they declare a fast, they know that it's like that. Other nedarim, a person makes a neder not to drink wine, there's no particular takanas chachamim to do that. So therefore, it's all up to him how long he made it for. So therefore, the chachamim are concerned that he may confuse one thing with another. But when it comes to fast days, a person knows that a fast lasts only until tzeis. So therefore, because that's how the chachamim set up fast, so therefore he's not going to confuse it with other kinds of cases. But then he brings from the Rashba another point as well, because the fact is here, part of the day was mutter from the beginning, because he only made the neder in the middle of the day, as opposed to a tainus becomes also from the beginning of the day. But the Ram says, I don't really like that explanation, because you could just as well have that when he makes the neder, it's also before Alois HaShachar. We're there at the same time. There at the same time as the tainus Yochid begins, and we still say that he needs to be matur neder d'rabban. So the Gemara says, Omer Ravina, Omer li Maremar. So Ravina says that you should know, Maremar told me, Hochi Omer Avucha b'shmei de Rav Yosef. You should know, says Maremar to Ravina, that your father, Ravina's father, said in the name of Rav Yosef, Kiman Ozla Shmei to Rav Yirmiyah v'Ava. Who does this statement of Rav Yirmiyah v'Ava, really on Omer Aleph, we just said Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah and Rav Yirmiyah v'Ava are two different Amaroyim, so maybe the Girsa needs to be changed in one place or another. Anyway, who does that go like that he's saying that we're going to penalize the person and make him go through Shela L'Chacham if he wants to be able to drink wine during that night or any time until 12 o'clock the next day? We're going to require him to be Matan Neder, Kirab Nassan. That would be like Rav Nassan, who disapproves of Nedarim in general. The Tanya, as we've learned before, we learned this yesterday as well. Rav Nassan, I'm calling Neder Ki L'Bonabama. Rav Nassan says that anybody who makes a Neder is as if he built a Bama. Rav Makayma Ki L'Makter Aleh, and if he fulfills the Neder as if he offered on the Bama, which we've said already a few times. The Ran explained that a person building a bama thinks that he's doing a great thing in honor of Hashem, but really he's doing something that's usur. And the same way, when a person makes a neder, he thinks that he's doing something good, but really it's not so good. The Chachamim would prefer that he assers himself in the thing without actually making a neder. So therefore, in other words, the idea would be that because of that, since anyway Rav Nosson disapproves of nedarim, then we're going to penalize him in this case. And we're going to be machmer on him and make him be machmer neder. Now, in other words, the Ran explains, this that was saying that a person might confuse Yom Echad and Hayom is a little bit far-fetched. The fact is, we're not going to say that by other kinds of Nedarim. We're not going to say by other kinds of Nedarim that we're going to be Machmer because you might confuse one thing with the other. Only in this case, where anyway, there is a certain amount of reason to be Machmer. There's a certain logic that you might confuse Hayom with Yom Echad. And in addition, we have the point that anyway, the Chachamim disprove of Nedarim, then therefore that's a reason to penalize him in this case and say that if he wants to drink wine between Seis Chachamim of the one day and the time when he made the Neder the next day, then he's going to need She'ela L'Chacham. But we're not going to apply that in other cases because there you have less of a logic to even apply such a requirement in the first place. And again, if it weren't for Rav Nosson's statement disapproving of Nedarim, then we wouldn't have penalized him in this case either. The Ran therefore explains that if it was a neder of a mitzvah, so for example, if a person made a neder that he's going to learn Torah or fulfill a mitzvah or whatever, then in fact we're not going to penalize him because in fact then he didn't do anything wrong. This that the Chachamim clown on Nedarim is only when it comes to Nidrei Rishus, only when we're talking about the Nedarim like we've mostly been talking about throughout the Masechta, where a person is voluntarily, just out of the blue, makes something also to himself, where the better thing might have been for him to not make an osur, but rather to just control himself without a neder. But when he's making a neder to do a mitzvah, then that's a different, yeah. That when he's making a neder to do a mitzvah, then that's a different matter. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Shabbos zu osur b'chol Shabbos kola. We said that if he makes a neder and says Shabbos zu, which we said, according to the Rans and everybody's first explanation, Shabbos zu meant this entire week. So we said he's also the entire week as well as Shabbos. So the Gemara says Pshita. So isn't it obvious? Isn't it obvious that it means he's also the entire week? The answer is Ma'od Tami, Yom Shabbos Akama. Because no, without that, you might have thought that he just means the days of the week. He might have meant the weekdays. So he means only the neder is in effect on the weekdays, not on Shabbos. Kamash Malan, therefore note, the Gemara is telling us, therefore no, the Mishnah is telling us that Shabbos is also included in the Isser. Again, according to the Ran's first explanation, we're talking about the neder was made in the middle of the week, and the chiddush of the Mishnah is that Shabbos is included in the week as well. We don't say that it belongs. We don't say that maybe the words Shabbos zu meant only the weekdays of the week. According to the Ran's second explanation, which again the Ran said I don't really like that explanation. What we mean is that he's standing on Shabbos, and it means that and making the neder, and it means the neder is in effect for that Shabbos as well as the entire following week and the following Shabbos, and therefore the Gemara is asking on that pshita that isn't it obvious that since he said he made the neder on Shabbos, then it means that it would include the day that he's standing on, and the answer is fine, but maybe it only means the day that he's standing on and the following week, but not necessarily the following Shabbos. Again, we said the Ran doesn't like that explanation because there is no logical reason why it should include the following Shabbos, or why it should include the following week at all. It should, on the face of it, only include until the end of this week, which means until the end of the Shabbos. Similarly, we said in the Mishnah, Chodesh zeh osu b'chol haChodesh. If he makes the neder for this whole month, for this month, then he's also the entire rest of the month, but Rosh Chodesh belongs to the next month. So the Gemara says also pshita. Also, isn't that obvious? Why would we think Rosh Chodesh belongs to the current month? The answer is, ki tzuricha l'chodesh chosr. The answer is, the chiddush of the Mishnah is when you have a chodesh chosr, when you have the following month is going to be a chodesh chosr, which means, in other words, the current month that he is in is Mulder. So let's say, for example, now we're in Kislev. The month of Kislev that we're in now is Mulder. So now, what meaning of it was, there's going to be a 2-day Rosh Chodesh. So on the face of it, the first day of Rosh Chodesh is Lamed Kislev. So it belongs to the previous month. Ma'u detema Rosh Chodesh l'sha'over havi. So you would think that therefore maybe Rosh Chodesh belongs to the previous month because it is after all Lamed Kislev. The loy litzar, and therefore it should not be osir, or a different girsah is that actually the litzar, it should be osir, because it's included in the proper girsah is the litzar, it should be osir, because it's included in the previous month. Kamashmon, karu inchi, reish yancha. The answer is that no, since people call it Rosh Chodesh, therefore people think of it as belonging to the following month. So therefore he made the neder to be in effect throughout Kislev, then once Rosh Chodesh Tevis comes, even though the first day of Rosh Chodesh is in fact also the last day of Kislev, nevertheless, in terms of Loshem Bnei Adam, people call it Rosh Chodesh Tevis, and therefore it's not considered to belong to Kislev. Because again, you go after Loshem Bnei Adam. The Ran points out that a nafkamina that would be in this, in halacha, what would be if you're writing a shtar, you're writing a shtar, suba, get, or whatever, on the first day of Rosh Chodesh. So can you write? For example, if you write one on Lamed Kislev, do you write Lamed Kislev? Can you write that was written in Kislev? No, because then it would be muktam. It would be predated. Because on the face of it, you're writing Kislev, and this already belongs to what he's saying is that if you're writing, so for example, let's say you're writing a get. Let's say you're writing a shtar, any kind of shtar, on Aleph Tevis, in that case, you would actually have to write that it's the second of Tevis, because the first day would be the first, Lamed Kislev was the first day of Rosh Chodesh. Based on all Gemara over here, we're saying it belongs to the following month. So you would have to say that the next day, what we call Aleph Tevis, would actually really be the second day of the month, because the second day of Rosh Chodesh. And so forth. So we would have to say the same thing as far as shtaris. On the other hand, he brings from the Rashba that by a get, at any rate, you don't do that, that by a get, you would write actually, let's say, on the 30th day of Tishrei, which is Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, in order to make it clear, that way there's no question about it. But when it comes to other shtaris, on the face of it, you would have to actually count the days of the month from the first day of Rosh Chodesh.
Sure.
Lamaisa, we don't see that you do that. Lamaisa, I guess the difference is that, first of all, Washington Adam itself may have changed. It is true that we call Lamed Kislev Rosh Chodesh Tevis, but people do also call it Lamed Kislev. So maybe even as far as Nedarim, the din would be different now, but certainly as far as Shtaris, we don't seem to do like what the Ran is doing over here. If you were to write a shtar, let's say, on... If you were to write a shtar, let's say, on Hey Tevis, you're not going to write the sixth day of Tevis, even though it is the sixth day, counting from the first day of Rosh Chodesh.
So what? It's Lamed Kislev, like today. Okay.
So today is Chavtes Kislev, for example, is Lamed Kislev. What the Gemara is saying over here is it really belongs to Tevis in terms of Nedarim. Therefore, the Ran is saying, based on that, it would mean that if we were to write a shtar on Lamed Kislev, we would actually have to write the first of Tevis, and if we were writing on an Aleph Tevis, we would have to write the second of Tevis, and so on and so forth throughout the month, because you're counting from the first day of Rosh Chodesh. So only by Gittin would you double date it and say it's the 30th of Kislev, which is also Rosh Chodesh Tevis. But we don't seem to do that, and I'm thinking maybe that's because in fact Lashon Bnei Adam has changed, and in practice people do refer to it as Lamed Kislev as well. All right.